Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode. Folks, it's Narbos and Broomheads. Kids at Degrassi Street is what we're talking about over the next little while. And we're going to talk this week about Irene Moves In, which is episode 3. And I think we're going to enjoy this one. I don't know. Guess we'll see. I'm Alan. I'll lead you through this one this week. But we've got some front around the table. The members of this podcast who currently aren't shitting their pants.
or puking.
Yeah. have come to join us, so there you go. Who are my non-pants shitters out there? Who's out in Oakville?
Hey, Tim here. It's like we have the History Channel version of Kids at Degrassi Street, because it's like the combination of Bigfoot hunting and the romping adventures of preteens in 1970s Toronto, so looking forward to it.
Oh, history indeed. What a time. I'm so sad I didn't live here during this time. It looks so magical. we've got out in Newfoundland.
Hello, it's me, Ted, your friend. Yeah, I'm here. Hello. What's up?
Lots to say this week.
Lots to say this week. Just, yeah.
I think we're all waiting with bated breath to talk to Arlo, because Arlo, I think you need to tell everybody, what have you been up to in the last week or so?
Where have you been?
Who have you been in? It's me, Arlo. I'm back in Regina, Saskatchewan, but I've been in Vegas for the past week. Did I talk about it on the podcast before? Or did I just talk to you guys about it? I don't recall, but
you have not told us anything. You've told us on the private stuff.
All right. But, well, yeah. My store that I work at, the adult store Industrial Love, we had the opportunity to go to a large conference, basically, for our industry. There's two parts of it. There's the AVNs and there's also the ANEs. So the AVNs are both basically like the porn awards for porn stars, cam girls, like all of that stuff. And it's basically like the Oscars for porn. It's the biggest event of the year. And then coupled with that, there's the ANEs, and the ANEs are like the toy part of it, or the product part of it. So that's where the interest of my store lies, is going to this big conference of different manufacturers and designers and things like that, and making connections there. So yeah, I've been at the porn awards.
where is the future of porn taking us? Because that's what these conventions are for, right? Like, the next 10 years of porn, what have we got?
They're the ones that embrace always the newest technologies.
Yeah. First.
Well, I saw a lot of dolls that do a lot of things. So I feel like that's maybe the next, like, I think as AI and stuff gets more affordable,
so
you'll see more of those in price ranges that maybe people can actually afford.
Just yeah, the picture you sent us was quite a looking doll. For our parts of a doll, I guess.
Yeah.
You're like, the doll of the future. This doll can hold so much cum.
and it probably won't rip your penis off. Probably not.
What were the two conferences? The
AVN is the porn side, and ANE is the toy manufacturer side.
I feel like there's a lost opportunity. Like, it could have been called like the Adult National Award League.
It was cool though.
Someone just got it.
Sorry, I was sipping a bit of water here.
If you don't, I doubt you know who this is, but because I work in the industry, I do know who this is. So, people were like, "Oh, did you meet anybody famous?" And I'm like, "I don't know." There was some really fantastic looking people walking around the hotel complex where the conference was, like, in crazy outfits. And like, when I say fantastic looking, I mean like there was some really beautiful people that looked like models, but there was also like people with like impossible proportions, like to the point of like grotesque kind of thing. So there was really like a lot of different shapes and sizes and things like that.
Did you go up to any of them and be like, "Hey, are you here for the convention?"
Why are you here?
It was pretty obvious who was there for the convention. Yeah. But yeah, and people are like, "Well, did you see anyone famous?" I'm like, I could have been standing next to the most famous cam girl OnlyFans person in the world, and I would have no idea. Wow. The only porn stars that I'm aware of are the ones that have toy lines, and I see their pictures on the toy boxes. Like, ooh. I kind of wasted on me in terms of any type of celebrities. But we did meet Buck Angel. I mean, kind of niche, but probably the most famous female to male trans porn star in the world.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but that's cool.
Well, and has a new toy line called Demon Cat. So we were able to make some connections there.
Sorry, can you clarify that?
Demon Cat?
Demon Cat?
That's the toy line.
This pussy will rip your dick off. Demon Cat. No?
I'm still stuck on, like, if a real pizza boy showed up, he'd be so confused. Like, "Come here, you." And he'd be like, "No, really. It's like, I have an actual pizza somebody ordered." "Sure you do. It's got extra sauces, really, let me guess."
The toy side was really interesting. I got a lot out of it. The porn side, like, we did, you know, we had full access to everything. It's just that our interests were mainly on the toy side. But we did check out the porn side. And it was really overwhelming. Kind of repulsive. It reminded me of, like, circus animals. Like, someone would just be there with a phone and, like, the performers would just be like, like, trained seals all of a sudden. Like, it was, weirdly super unsexy to me.
Like, is everybody walking around just holding a phone or videotaping themselves at these things now? Like, what's it like going to something like that? Yeah, it's got to be just like, why can't
on
just
on the porn side? Yes, very that.
Man,
and they'll just be like some girl who's like there, like fingering herself, and there's like 15 guys with like camera phones all around her, and it's just like, ugh. Like, it the porn side was something. It was something.
Splash zone.
Well, well, if I ever go sometime this year to a market research convention, I will tell you all about how exciting that is. So
I'm sure it will be just as enthralling.
Spreadsheets aplenty.
Tell us who the most famous market researcher is.
Yeah, be very, very exciting. All right, well, let's go from a girl fingering herself with 15 onlookers to this children's show.
To a 10-year-old moving on the street.
Yeah, here we go. So we're going to talk about episode 3 of Kids of Degrassi Street. This one's called Irene Moves In, and it was airing on September 1st, 1981, back at a time where this show was still, I believe, one annual episode for the first 4.
Yep.
This one is directed by Linda Shiler and Kit Hood. It was written by Amy Jo Cooper, and I think we get most of the same characters we've seen already in this one, except one character is now a different character, so that's cool. I guess when you're doing once a year, who gives a shit? And Yeah, I mean, we can get right into it. We can comment. I believe, Ted, what did you call this one before we recorded?
Oh, I don't recall. Uh-huh. What it was. Okay. It had a real bad word in it. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure, yeah. I don't recall. Does anybody, do you remember?
I mean, okay. So I may as well get this out now. As we go through this episode, I just want to note that Irene, who ends up moving in, is Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so there are a number of moments in this episode where I am sitting on the edge of my seat thinking that we're going to go into like the worst place. And we
only because, Alan, you've watched episode 17 and saw where they went.
I'm like, oh no, like, what are we going to fucking say in this episode? And it ends up not happening, but I'm still reading like the veiled racism over the course of this episode. So anyways, should we just talk about it? Do you have any comments?
I did listen to a podcast. I believe it was called the Degrassi Kid Podcast.
Excuse me? You're listening to some other fucker's Degrassi podcast? How dare you?
Adultery.
I specifically listened to it because it was an interview with Nancy Lamb, who plays Irene in this. And they did talk a little bit about how at this time on television, there really wasn't any Asian representation. And... Mm-hmm. You know, Canadian television or whatnot. And so just the fact that there was like a Chinese kid on Degrassi is kind of like groundbreaking in this moment.
And she actually was probably the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, lines. And she was saying like she, you know, would watch Chinese movies with her parents, and that's where she would see, you know, Chinese people in movies or on Chinese television. But like it was pretty unheard of in terms of on mainstream Canadian or American television at this time. So
groundbreaking. So, Degrassi.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, I guess we'll get rolling on this one. We start off with what is like one of 40 shots of someone walking their sheepdog down the road. And of course, at first I'm like, enough of the fucking dog, like walking down the street. Like, little did I know. And
foreshadowing.
Yeah.
This dog's name is Cleo.
There are dogs in the credits.
There are more episodes too.
We got a huge credit on screen for Cleo Marlett playing the role of Bigfoot. So I was like, "Who's Cleo?" Well, we'll see. Well, Arlo, you told everyone, so it's great.
Oh, okay.
So they walk past.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They walk past Ida's house, and Ida's brother Fred, her older brother Fred, is raking leaves and speaking with Noel and Cookie, who are also hanging out. And this is pretty big brother-ish, right? He's like, yeah, and Bigfoot, and he's got really big teeth, and he loves to eat children, you know? So talking shit to the younger kids, right?
Well, the nice thing about this, too, is like this is being filmed in the fall, right? He's raking leaves. They're making jack-o'-lanterns. Like, and as we go along the show, you'll see like there's episodes in the winter where they're in snow. Like, it's nice that this one isn't stuck in that summer filming kind of spot.
Fred says that he has pictures of Bigfoot, and Cookie says, well, that means it must be true. But Noel is like, those are fake. You Photoshop those. And they're like, what the fuck is Photoshop? What
is- fake news.
Marty McFly?
Yeah. Like, what? Photoshop? I don't. What is this? Yeah. So we then see a moving truck pull up, and the kids comment that this moving truck is bigger than the house that it's in front of. And then they play like this kind of ominous like sound effect. Like
we're in a horror movie.
Yeah, like where someone's about to get murdered.
Oh, I can't remember his name, but there's a guy who does this, and he loves his synthesizer.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he's orchestrating it like something.
He is
sick. Experimenting
in this one.
Yeah. So we get this ominous music as the movers get out and start moving shit into the house. And meanwhile, Fred's still talking shit about Bigfoot.
He's just going on.
Yeah.
Can I say two things about this scene?
Yep.
Kid named Fred, awesome. Also, Ida is carving a jack-o'-lantern with the jack-o'-lantern in one arm and a sharp knife in the other on a step, like, precariously balanced. I go, the 80s. Yes.
Yep. 80s,
unsupervised.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Mwah, beautiful.
Just send the kids out front with knives and, you know, good luck. So, yeah, Fred says Bigfoot's close to the city. He wants food. Noel doesn't believe him, and Fred's like, well, don't believe me, but you're going to be sorry, motherfucker.
You're going to die.
Yep. Ida then sees her mom across the street, and she's talking with the new neighbors. And all the kids are also wondering why so much time has been spent fixing this old house. And then Ida says, you know, they could have just bought a new one in a new community. And I thought, Ida should run for mayor of Winnipeg, because that's exactly how people there think. They're like, why fix up houses downtown when you can just build new ones outside of the city? It's great.
So if you look at some of the Degrassi sites, the Degrassi Wiki and things like that, it will say that Irene's mom in this is Nancy Lamb's real mom in real life. Listening to this podcast today, that is not true. That is not her mom.
Oh, no.
And she doesn't know how that got started, besides the fact that they just happened to have the same last name.
So it leaks in, like, even they're not in the story.
Yeah, well, I wonder why. Bad. Oh, must be related.
Must be related, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So, Nancy Lamb and Linda Lamb, not mother and daughter. Mm-hmm. Not related at all. Also, Nancy Lamb is sometimes miscredited because there's a very famous Singaporean chef celebrity person whose name is Nancy Lamb, and often you'll they look Asian, so they must be the same person. they're not the same person. She is not a celebrity chef. She is an author and a lawyer in Toronto.
It's amazing. The world. Amazing. Cookie asks if they gave Bigfoot food, would he go away? And Fred's like, the fuck you gonna give him? A hamburger? And I was like, Bigfoot would eat a hamburger. But Fred's like, he eats humans. Then he's like, Bigfoot is gonna break into your house late at night, hide under your bed, and grab you when you're asleep. Fuck.
Yeah, you little child. Yeah. You are going to be eaten.
Yeah. Noel,
I love how there's like this rumor that's going around town that Bigfoot's been spotted in Toronto.
It's amazing.
Well, like we're starting here, of course, with the kids talking about it. But yeah, soon in the very near future, you're going to find out this is a story that's like in the media, which is amazing. So, I mean, again, 80s, what are you going to do? Like, oh, word of mouth must be true. So Noel thinks this is still bullshit. We then see a Mercedes pull in, and the kids are like, whoa, a Mercedes. So when I first was going to be moving to Ottawa, I flew out there a few weeks before I moved permanently to find an apartment, and I rented a PT Cruiser, and I parked in a lot, and a kid was like, whoa, a PT Cruiser. I felt so cool.
You from the future?
Yeah. Like, it's my time machine too, kid. So a girl gets out of the car and is talking with Ida's mom, and Noel's like, great, another girl. And then Cookie says she looks nice, and Ida is like, harumph. There are enough kids in this neighborhood already. And again, I'm like, oh, what are we going to say in this episode? Please don't go there. Ida's mom is then putting groceries away. And Ida asks what's for lunch, and Ida's mom is like, your options are bologna or peanut butter and jelly. And as a 45-year-old man, I'm like, delicious. Like,
I was like, one of each,
please.
That was a weekend when I was a kid.
Even now, I'm like, I'll take those two options any day.
She just says bologna. Not even like a sandwich, just a chub. Just a whole chub.
Yeah. So Ida's mom asks if Ida has met Irene yet, and says Irene seems like a nice girl. Ida says she doesn't think Irene is her type. She can tell by looking at her.
Oh, good
like,
Lord,
what does
no.
that mean, Ida?
Uh-huh. Don't.
Like, no. So Ida's mom says first impressions are not fair, and she tells Irene she should go over and introduce herself to Irene after lunch. She tells Ida, and the fact that they're Ida and Irene fucks me up, so I'm like, can't we go with a completely different name? But it needs to start with I, and we'll see why later.
That's right.
So now, for already the third time in this episode, someone is walking their sheepdog again. Irene.
Dog needs to walk.
Yeah.
That dog needs to poop a lot.
Yeah.
And in a neighborhood where you know they don't clean up dog poop, by the way.
Well, not at this point in the time.
Oh, so
in
much
1981,
garbage. No.
We're right? Shitting everywhere.
Yeah. Irene leaves her house and goes across the street. It is Irene. She leaves her house. She approaches Ida, Noel, and Cookie, who are painting on the front steps of Ida's place. And she introduces herself. Cookie is friendly, but Ida and Noel are immediately standoffish. And then Cookie says Irene's house is nice. And then Irene, so look.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Ida's the worst in this episode, I believe. Mm-hmm. Irene, easily second worst, I think. But she's like, oh yeah, my dad is an architect, and he's one of the best in the country, and he won an award. So, like, okay.
So shouldn't the kid say, why did you move to this street then?
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's be honest. Like, we're going to start seeing some houses and stuff on this street. This street is not award-winning architect driver Mercedes kind of street.
Yep. So then she asks Ida what her dad does, and Ida says that her dad lives out west. So I guess this was the start of the Degrassi tradition of people just being out west.
Yep.
I feel like to Linda Shiler so and Kid Hood, out west is like Siberia. He's like, oh, yeah, he's out west. And
oh, yeah.
We don't need to specify. Live, yeah. It's like Toronto, Western Canada, which is kind of how people in Toronto think. So
went out west for cigarettes.
Irene asks why he's out west. And Ida's like, because he doesn't live with us. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah. So Irene then asks what the kids are doing. And Cookie says they're making a sign for their secret club. Ida and Noel are pissed that Cookie has spilled the beans on the club. And Irene asks how she can join. And Ida says, you have to be asked. And she's clearly blowing off Irene. So then Irene, doing herself any favors, starts kind of telling them how they should be doing their sign. She's like, by the way, you should do the background first and then paint in the letters. And
she's correct.
Yes. I'm artsy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ida asks, who asked you? And Irene says, well, my dad says I'm artistic. I'm like, I don't like anyone here. So,
shitty kids. You know how kids have no filters, though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like,
but it is pretty presumptuous for her to just to walk right over. Hey, let me in your group.
Have some manners, kid.
Yeah, pay your taxes. Get a job.
Irene asks what they do for fun, and Cookie says they play. So Irene invites Cookie over, and they make plans for the next day, which Ida is not impressed with. And so then we immediately go to Cookie and Irene playing jump rope and chatting. I did not remember what, you know, they do one of those little jump rope chants, right?
Yep.
And then you're going to jump the rope, and then you're going to do whatever they do.
How many times did
will you have?
Well, I don't, you know, I don't know if there's like a male-female divide here, but like, this is like my childhood. This is exactly what we did. We tied one end of the skipping rope to the lamppost, like these skipping rhymes, like all of that stuff. It just like all came flooding back to me.
Well, I remember in elementary school, like our girls would do double Dutch. And I thought that was really neat. I want to try to learn how to do this because, you know, it's competitive and, you know, it's athletic. So sure. I would play with them, and I wanted to learn how to double Dutch until I got mercilessly made fun of by my buddies to the point where I was like, well, I guess I'm not doing that anymore.
That's right.
It's good exercise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wish I was strong enough when I was in grade 6 to do that. But the moment they're like, hey, what are you skipping around with those girls for? Yeah. All right, I guess I'm done.
Like, I wasn't.
Yeah, reinforce those gender stereotypes, kids.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. They're playing jump rope. Irene asks how old Ida... asks how old Ida says or is, and then says that she seems kind of mean. And I don't know what's happening here because I've got fucking names all screwed up in this thing. Holy shit. Anyways, Ida comes out of her house and tells Cookie it's time for the club meeting. And Irene asks if she can join the club. And Ida goes through all the rules. And every rule that she goes through, Irene qualifies for. What was it? You need to be... have a name
your
start
name
with
has to start with an I, an N, or a C, and you have to live between I can't remember which house numbers, like, yeah,
94 and 100 Degrassi or 90,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and Irene's like, well, that's me. So Ida makes up a new rule, and it's like, yeah, but you have to have lived here for a long time. Huh. Cookie protests and asks if Irene can join because her and Irene are now friends. And then Irene says the members should have a vote, but Ida isn't having it. And then Cookie decides she's just going to stay with Irene, so fuck the club. She actually says that. She's like, fuck the club and fuck you then. So, yeah. At the clubhouse, Noel meets with Ida and asks where Cookie is. Ida says Cookie is with Irene, and she thinks that Irene is bossy. And Noel says, well, maybe if we ignore her, she'll go away. I'm like, go away where?
She's the other side of the street.
Yeah. Ida says Irene is plain bossy and she just wants to be friends with Cookie so that she can boss her around. And Ida is clearly projecting here, is she not?
Yes, this is very much projection.
Yeah. So now we're at school and Irene and Cookie are painting hats. And I guess it's Halloween coming up, so this is like a costume. So now Irene actually kind of gets a little bossy. She's like, Cookie, I think your hat needs stars. And Cookie's like, I don't want stars. And Irene...
She's like, here, I'll paint stars for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So she takes the hat. Ida sees this as an opportunity and runs over and snatches the hat and is like, Cookie doesn't want stars on her hat. So then they do a tug of war with the hat, which is already kind of fake because that hat's made out of paper and like it's not tearing in two super easily.
Or it's flat. Also
very, like, it's like a silent battle of wills too. Like they're not being like, no, give it to me. No, give it to me or whatever. It's just silence.
It's just.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think like the adults who made this got together and are like, okay, we need a scene where there's a confrontation and it ends up with Irene, you know, falling down and paint spilling on her. But they're like, obviously, we can't make this kid take a real bump. So how are we going to put this scene together? Yeah. So they do the tug of war in silence. And then we just have a shot and Irene is on the ground. Oh, I fell. And then yellow paint spills all over her. So,
In case you're wondering, these scenes were filmed at Blake Street School.
Ah.
If anyone wants to visit.
Yeah, I think that's where all of them are for this.
Yeah, if any of you want to go and hang out outside of an elementary school, Blake Street School is the place to go, everybody.
Yeah. Tell them we sent you. These are our names.
So Irene says that Ida did this on purpose and she ruined her sweater and needs to pay for it. And she says, I'll sue.
Cool. And now she's a lawyer in real life.
Is she really?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Like, good job.
Probably her sweater.
So she literally will.
Yeah, she's an immigration lawyer, though. She's not like.
She doesn't sue people. She doesn't sue people for spilling paint on sweaters.
No, really? No, she did not make a career out of that, unfortunately.
I don't know about you, but like, I'll sue you. There was a certain time in my life when that was a common threat amongst children. Yeah. I definitely let it fly once or twice.
It's still, I mean, if you live in the States, like, it's a very litigious society having just gotten back from the States. Like, the billboards out there, like, every billboard you see is like, you know, injuredinahotel.com, get your fare, compensation, rideshareinjury.com. Like, it's crazy.
So I find it interesting that they were all together. Isn't Cookie supposed to be younger? Like, do you think this was like an after school program or something they were making these hats? Because I don't think they're in the same grade.
They're not in the classroom. Like, they're in, no, it appears like that they're in the library. So it feels like it's a setting where they could have different groups, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like lunchtime, come set up for the dance or something.
Maybe. Or some kind of free period where they combine classrooms or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cookie's like fucking Scooter and Bartholomew Bond. Yeah, she's just skipped four grades.
She's been accelerated.
Yeah.
She's so
she
smart.
Couldn't read a year ago. Now she's in the accelerator.
Yes. So Cookie says she's going to help clean up the sweater, and Irene's like, you can't, it's ruined. This bitch.
Cashmere.
I'm going to sue her, and she's going to be poor and have to give tuggies. Still on that.
It probably is ruined, to be fair.
So
I heard that happens at the hospital.
So we see Ida leaving her house, and she's going to see Cookie, who is next door to go to the club. But Irene pops up at the door and says, Cookie isn't going to the club because my mom is taking us to the movies. So it's 1982, I believe. So they probably are going to see E.T. That would be my guess.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for kids probably. That age, will scare the fuck out of them. So,
or probably $1.75 on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't E.T. was 82, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is this 81?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
82 is the next episode, I think.
Yeah, next episode, maybe they could go see E.T., but, yeah.
Got the preview for E.T.
So, Noel shows off his Halloween costume, and I'm not sure if it's a... I think it's a gorilla. I'm like, is that a wolf? Is that a gorilla? What is that? But he asks if it's scary, and Ida's like, yeah, you want to see if it works? So...
Scheming.
We get Cookie and Irene playing jump rope. And then Noel runs down the sidewalk and says, I saw Bigfoot. He's here. I saw his footprint. So the kids are like, where? So he takes them and he's like, there it is. And, you know, kids are stupid, so they're going to believe anything. But I'm like, fake.
You mean there's no Bigfoot, Alan? Yeah.
Should start a GoFundMe and like a CGI Alan in, just like pushing through the crowd of kids going fake, just pointing down at it.
Stupid.
And looking around very triumphantly.
Yeah.
Little fist pump.
So they follow this trail of fake prints until we see another kid in a gorilla costume slide down a pole and go, ah. Cookie screams and her and Irene start to run away, but Ida takes off the mask and is laughing at them. So Irene stops and is like, yeah, I knew it was you, which is bullshit. Like, you pissed your pants. Yeah. Come on, kid. Irene says it's because Cookie screamed and that scared her. So they're both like pissed. And then
Cookie's young enough to like not have any ability to lie. She's just like, I saw it. I thought it was Bigfoot and he screamed.
I was scared.
Yeah, she said she was worried that Bigfoot was going to eat her. So, yeah. Ida says Irene wouldn't need to worry about that. And Irene asks why. And again, I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. Please, God, no. And then she says, because you stink. And I'm like, whew.
Which in this world is like the worst possible thing, apparently, you can say to somebody.
When she says it to her, all the kids look so sad.
They like recoil.
Yeah.
How dare she?
Yeah, and then Irene, after like recovering from the shock, is like, you think you can hurt me, but you can't. And she runs off, clearly hurt.
Sticks and stones can't break my bones.
Yeah. Cookie says Ida wasn't nice, and Ida says she deserves it because she's like, she thinks she could just move in here and take over. Cookie says Ida is nice because she's a human being like you and me. And Ida says that, you know, if she doesn't like her, and if Cookie wants to be her friend, she wouldn't like her either. And Cookie's like, well, bitch, see ya. So Cookie leaves. And then Ida asks Noel what Cookie is so upset about. And Noel is like, that wasn't very funny. And I'm like, you motherfucker. Like,
not funny.
He's all mad. And I'm like, you were in on this.
I mean, he wasn't in on her saying that she stinks.
She went to the next
that
level.
Was a hair too far.
Yeah.
For dear old Noel.
Yeah.
We agreed on scaring only, Ida.
Yeah. We wanted them to piss their pants, but anything else is too much. So I'm like, you were right there, Noel. Don't fucking back out now, asshole. But Noel takes off too. We get Ida on the phone with Noel trying to arrange another club meeting. And Noel is asking if Irene can join the club. And Ida says she's president. And so, no, not tomorrow. She goes, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. And I was like, that sounds like a WWE slogan. And then I thought, maybe not the week to be talking about WWE. So.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Uh-huh. Also, Fred is in the background doing homework and he's wearing some fucking rad headphones.
Oh, yeah.
Might I also point out, Ida is wearing one Stratford sweatshirt.
Yes,
I did notice that.
Props to Stratford.
Were you excited about that?
I actually paused and said, Diana, you are not watching this, but can you look and see what's on her sweater? And my wife turned and looked and said, Strafford, and looked back at her work. And maybe I was overexcited. I don't know. But
Fred,
the headphones are pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, like the full on, like fucking right over the ear, like the ones I'm wearing when I'm doing the podcast. Just big time headphones. Awesome. So Ida sits at the table and starts erasing something on her work, and it causes the table to jiggle, and Fred's like, fuck, like, cut it out. But she keeps doing it to be an asshole. And
well, now my wife remembered those huge erasers, though. She's like, I remember those.
Yeah, I definitely had one of those huge erasers, and it said for big mistakes on it. And I noticed that hers said that too.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't see the whole thing, but I noticed the top of it said for big. And I was like, that says for big mistakes. I know it. Yeah.
Is that what the eraser would have said if it was being sold at the convention that you were at last week? For big. No.
Mistakes.
Uh-huh. So Fred's like, you know, I'm going to fucking send you outside and let Bigfoot eat you. And Ida asks what Fred is doing the next day. And he's like, you know, just hanging around. So she's like, well, can I come with you? And I even me, who's never had siblings, is like, that's not going to fly. Like, your older brother is not going to let you, younger sister, come and hang out with him and his friends. Absolutely not.
It really is interesting seeing like these four episodes, five, six, where these sort of Ida and Fred sort of still hang around and Noel and Cookie, and just watching how much they age, because there's such a time difference between these first few episodes. Like, Fred gets so old in the next two episodes.
He's like back with a mustache.
He's smoking a dart.
With Trans Am.
Yeah. So he asks what happened to Cookie, and Noel and Ida call, and Noel and Ida calls them her ex-friends, and she says, Irene took them away and it's all her fault. And Fred, the new voice of reason on Degrassi, is like, maybe if you weren't so bossy, people would like you.
Sounds like it is.
Yeah. Ida protests, and Fred just fucking slips his headphones back on. And I'm like, Fred is the coolest motherfucker on this show. Like... He's awesome.
Can I write to Fred? Be like, hey, Fred, I'm a big fan. Love your work. Care of 1981.
Fred, let's get together and listen to some REO Speedwagon. What do you say?
Oh, sweet.
So we see Ida's mom talking on the phone, clearly with Irene's mom, and is talking about how the kids don't get along. And she's like, well, they'll need to work it out, because I'm going to see you tomorrow to work on the election. So
just moved in and they're already.
Yeah, the election. So Ida's mom knocks on the bathroom door where Ida's having a bath. And she says her and Irene's mom are working on the election tomorrow. So Irene is going to stay over and Fred will babysit. And Ida says she doesn't want Irene in her house. So her mom comes in and asks why Ida is so mad at Irene. And Ida says, I knew when I saw Irene that she'd ruin everything. Ida says she messed up the club and stole her friends. And her mom is like, have you considered how hard it would be for Irene moving into a new place? And Ida's like, I didn't ask her to move here. Her mom.
This is like putting two vipers in a pit. Like, can you imagine? Like, she knows they don't like each other. Here's what we want you to do. Bring your enemy over and stay the night. We're not going to be here.
Well, it's like two of my cats, I have three of them, and they largely tolerate each other unless they're like right next to each other and then there's some hissing. But sometimes for fun, I like to pick two of them up and put them face to face so that they swat at each other.
Oh my God.
Hey, it's been done before.
Yeah. That's what's happening here. They're like, let's put these two kids in a room.
In a confined space where nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to admit, I do the same thing. I bring the cat to Linda like it's a sacrificial offering. I'm like, here, look her in the eyes.
Yeah.
The dog will like either chase the cat or the cat will run away. Well, both actually happen, but yeah.
Oh,
sometimes
wonderful.
She chases, sometimes she doesn't.
So,
pet owner.
Ida's mom asks if Ida can make an effort to make it easy, and she asks Ida why she's so afraid of change, and Ida says she just wants things to stay the same, and I'm like, Ida, move to Alberta. Like, that's the place for you. Go move with your dad, who's out west. Like, we know what's what you are. Then her mom tells Ida pretty nicely, she's like, Irene's staying here tomorrow. So shut up, bitch. Yeah.
Get back to floating in space.
Yeah. Ida agrees but says, don't expect me to talk to her. So the next day, we get a shot of a pot with hot dogs in it, just boiled hot dogs.
If this wasn't my childhood.
Oh!
It's so much.
Yep.
And boiled, like, red hots, baby.
Not only is it just boiled hot dogs, but it, as a kid, I would have been so excited. Like, oh, it's amazing. Fred is serving the hot dogs.
In the greatest apron ever.
Yeah. What is it? Does it say anything? I don't even remember.
It just looks like 1980s apron.
I love putting on an apron for boiled hot dogs.
To boil hot dogs.
Then he, like, makes a bologna sandwich and he's got a whole, like, a chef's outfit on. It's like,
you know, yeah. And you know it's the early 80s when there's not a vegetable in sight. It's just the hot dog.
This was, I mean, microwaves existed, but in 1981, I don't think that they were extremely common for every single person to have one in their home.
Uh-huh. We didn't have
one. You know, when you heat, I don't think we got one until, like, we definitely didn't have one until I have it in my memory. So I was older than, like, a 2 or 3 year old, right? So, like, we're talking somewhere in the mid 80s by the time we actually had one in our home. So this is how you made hot dogs.
I still make them that way. Microwave hot dogs, are you kidding me? Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not an animal.
Yeah. Come on, Arlo. You went to chef school. You know you boil hot dogs. That's what they do.
I own an appliance for making hot dogs. Thank you.
What is it?
It was given to me as a gift because my favorite food is hot dogs.
We don't check IDs on this podcast, do we?
It makes two at a time. It's like a toaster, but it makes hot dogs.
It's like a toaster?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I'm looking this
up. I know this. I've seen this on the interwebs.
You put two hot dogs in, and then you put buns in, and then you press it down like a toaster, and it, like, sizzles the hot dogs, and it, like, toasts the buns all at the same time.
This is like
toaster.
This is like when I learned about slow cookers.
I think it's Betty Crocker. I think that's the brand.
I think it was God that handed this to
us. Oh, yeah.
All right.
You can buy them on Amazon.
Yeah. So,
Oscar Mayer hot dog toaster.
So you have your hot dog water. I will use my fancy.
Did you buy this for yourself?
No, it was.
Did you buy this for yourself? Oh, it was a gift.
It's a gift. Because. Nice. A friend of mine knows that hot dogs are my favorite food.
Nice. A good friend.
Yeah, trying to encourage me to get into competitive hot dog eating.
This rabbit hole keeps going.
I'm like, how many posters of Joey Chestnut do you have on your wall?
I am fascinated by competitive eaters, first of all. And I'm especially fascinated because there was a woman in this year's, like, Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest, and she qualified for the final, and she was within the top 10 of women competitive eaters to qualify for the fucking final. Do you know how many hot dogs she ate in the final?
How many?
Two. She ate two hot dogs.
Like, just wanted to get there.
I could eat two hot dogs. Okay. I got this.
I know you've thought about this, so I'm not putting you on the spot, really. What would be your strategy? So I think Joey Chestnut eats the wieners, like, separately, and then dips the bun.
Does that.
Yeah,
does everybody do that?
That was originated by a very famous competitor eater named Kobayashi.
Kobayashi.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that's great. My strategy is just that hot dogs are my favorite food, and I can eat a lot of them.
Yeah, it's great.
May I have the job? This is you in an interview.
Yeah.
And that's what you finish with. You finish strong. You go, I can eat a lot of hot dogs.
What's your one strength? Hot dog.
When do I start?
Yeah. So as these children are eating hot dogs at the table, there appears to be in the background on the television a legitimate news report about fucking Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
I love it. Ida does the annoying thing where she's like, Fred, tell Irene to pass the ketchup. And Fred already, I'm just is like, these bitches. Like,
yeah, he's like over it immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
But he's good at ignoring them.
Yeah. So
I will say that, like, this is really realistic. This is what annoying kids do. Like, they, like, this is why I don't have children. Like, this is exactly how kids talk to each other when they're, like, fighting with each other. This is exactly what happens.
And some adults. I actually was recently listening to the episode where Manny gets kicked out of her house by her parents, and her dad did that to her. Her dad was saying to her mom, tell our daughter that she needs to do this. Like, yeah.
Yes.
So both of them start talking to Fred about how they won't talk to one another. And I wrote, Ida's mom cannot be paying Fred enough for this shit. He's just like, fuck no.
He's not getting paid. This is his job as the bigger brother. It's just to stay and watch, right? There's no money.
You're right. Cookie comes over to return something for her mom, and she sees that Irene is there, and now it's like, why are you here? So
I better stay.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, I have to spend the night, and it wasn't my idea. So then Irene and Ida continue to badger Fred, and Irene eventually says, they're like, I tell her I'd rather be here than be with you. And eventually it escalates to Irene saying, I'd rather be on a desert island surrounded by sharks than be with Irene. So Fred just fucks off. He's like, I'm out.
Dinner's done.
Yeah. And so now they want Cookie say things to, Cookie, tell her this. And Cookie's like, I need to ask my grandma if I can stay. She just leaves too. She's like, fuck you too. Yeah. So now the sheepdog goes for another walk with ominous music. So taking another dump. Cookie is telling Ida a story about... I'm reading this. I love this. The kids are in the room and Cookie's like, and then they found this baby and its head, it was chopped off.
And then he asked the baby and the baby was like, no, I'm going to sleep. And then when they came in, the baby's head was chopped off.
Fantastic.
Perfect kid story.
And then Irene chirps in, that's not true.
Yeah, and Cookie's like, my fucking uncle said it was. So... So then Ida says, Bigfoot is in the city, but Irene's like, it isn't real. And Ida says, well, Noel said he heard it on the radio. And Fred is like, fucking sleep. Like, seriously, go to sleep. So then we get the kids sleeping. They're all three of them in the same bed. And Cookie wakes up because she hears a noise outside. And then all the girls wake up, and Ida immediately is like, Bigfoot!
I see him. Must be.
Irene says Ida must be joking, but goes to check the window, and then Ida goes and checks as well, and we see something furry going through the garbage, and so they're like, we need to get a photo of this. So they've got a Polaroid camera. And
with the flashbulbs on it.
Yes.
Loved it.
So they agree to go downstairs and look together. Cookie goes with them. And then, look, kids are watching this show. So for children, I'm assuming this is supposed to be a tense and scary scene, right? Because we get banging outside. We get this sound effect of a heartbeat. It's getting faster and faster and faster. I wrote, it fucking takes forever for these kids to get downstairs. Like, it's like 90 seconds of time for them to sneak downstairs. And then again, you know, I imagine, you know, kids are pretty stupid, so they're not going to realize what I realize. But they show a shot outside, and I'm like, oh, it's the fucking dog. Like, clearly it's the sheepdog in the garbage. And, like,
but let's say that they're still groggy from sleeping, and they freaked themselves out a lot.
Their imaginations get away with them.
This Polaroid camera gave me joy. Like, my mom had a Polaroid camera, and it was, like, again, it was, at the time, it was cutting-edge technology.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't great pictures, but, like, you know, the fact it's that you quick. Could take a picture and not have to take it in to get developed at the drugstore, which we all used to do when before we had cameras on our cell phones and stuff like that. Like, you used to, you had no idea what you were going to get, you know? And my mom got a Polaroid camera. It was just fascinating to us kids.
Yeah, you could take a picture of your dick and wouldn't have to worry about someone else developing it. It's great. Am I right?
I remember too.
Wait,
like,
what?
When we had that camera with the flashbulbs, like, if you touch that camera, it'd be like, you better not press that button and ruin one of those flashes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We would go, oh, boy.
So I'm wondering here, when we show the sheepdog in the garbage, and again, the kids in the house don't realize it, and I'm trying to think, like, for kids at home, is this meant to continue to be a mystery, or is this meant to kind of be funny, where the kids, you know, you'd have some kid at home being like, that's a dog, and, you know, but the kids on the show don't know.
I think the kids are supposed to be able to figure out that it's a dog.
Okay.
I picture Alan turning to Sarah going, "It's a dog."
It's like, look at the dog. It's over awesome. Here.
I'm
wasn't
smart.
Scared.
Yeah.
I knew right away.
Stupid kids.
This dog is awesome, by the way, just rooting through the garbage. Fucking great. These days, by the way, that'd be a raccoon. So just saying, like,
maybe that size too.
Yeah. Ida freezes and can't take the photo, so Irene steps in and takes it, and then they all run upstairs being like, "It's Bigfoot," and Fred is like, "Fuck."
I wish I didn't tell him this story.
Yeah. So then the girls look at the photo and Ida says it's definitely Bigfoot because he's got red eyes, which of course is from The Flash.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah. She thinks they should call the police and thinks they will be heroes. And Irene thinks, oh, we can get our picture in the paper. And Cookie says Irene was very brave. And immediately Ida's like, well, anyone could have taken a photo. But then she pauses and then says, well, it was brave for you to be so close. So, ooh.
They kind of bonded over their yes. terror.
Yeah, there's some warmth in the air. So Irene says, well, you were brave to help me. And then Ida apologizes for saying Irene stinks. And then... but then is like, well, I deserved it, but you ruined my sweater. And Irene's like, you did ruin it. But then she's like, oh, accidentally. And they smile and they're all kind of getting friendly at this point. So there you go.
I can tell that we are going to be friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And they do become really good friends, I think, throughout this.
Yeah. So they're all excited also to tell Noel about this, Bigfoot shit. So then we get these kids at what appears to be a Halloween party. So kids go to some venue, they appear to pay some sort of admission price, and then they're just in a room in costumes dancing.
I think it's got to be like a school dance, something Halloween party is my guess.
Noel is looking at the photo and he's like, he looks like a fucking dog. Ida's like, have you ever seen a dog with such red eyes? And Ida also talks about the rules for joining the club, and I guess Irene's going to be allowed to join. And then we get a pretty rad scene as the credits roll of kids, like, dancing at a party.
I like
that there's a sign that says that the scariest costume will win a bag of surprises.
I don't like that prize at all.
Now, Arlo, that bag of surprises would have been a lot different where you just got back from, huh?
Facts.
Yeah.
I did get some swag, though, from some of the booths, which was cool. I love free stuff, so even if it's just a pen, I'm like, yes.
I will take it.
And did you have a hard time when you walked around and said, my favorite food is hot dogs? And people were like, oh, I'll bet. And you're like, no, like, literally. Like,
no, that's for real, though.
Yeah.
I have an appliance.
Just so many. Yeah, so many. Yes. So then credits roll, and then the last thing we see is that fucking dog one more time. So
yeah.
Won't be the last time we see it.
Yeah, that sheep dog in there a lot. And that's it, everybody. That is Irene Moves In. So I don't know. What'd you think? Yes.
The writing on this was maybe 100 times better than anything on season 6 of Degrassi, Next Generation.
So
like,
oh my God.
It came together. It was a story.
It feels so organic, you know? Yes. Like, it really feels so like real. This is how, like, you know, when, like, Degrassi season 6, where they're just like, oh my God, I had a Testorama today. And, like, you're just like, no one talks like that, or whatever they're saying, right? In this, like, this really feels like how.
Absolutely.
Like, it feels like my childhood. It feels like how we used to talk to each other.
And people aren't being cruel.
When we were kids.
Like, they're not cruel. They're, like,
mean. Yeah.
Mean, but not cruel. Whereas, like, I found season 6 just all cruelty. And you go, like, no, nobody acts like that because somebody would be in a fisticuffs or something or whatever. Crazy.
Yeah, I continue to be just thoroughly charmed by this show. And I didn't realize that was gonna happen. Like, again, I have seen some episodes of this series, but like I haven't seen them in years. I don't remember them. And I just it's just a breath of my childhood just all coming back to me. And I am loving it. I'm so excited that there's like 20 more episodes. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, like I kind of was the one that was pushing for this a couple times. Like, we need to watch this. Let's do this. Let's figure out a way to watch it. And I'm glad you guys are liking them because like getting to watch them and then talk about it, I was like, wow, I'm really digging these early episodes, which I didn't really before because they're just sort of disjointed. But like you said, it's just a mirror into where we lived and how we lived. It's amazing.
Yeah, very that. And like just down to the little details, like one of those giant erasers that says for big mistakes, right? Like, and like just those little touches that are just so real to how things looked then. You know?
And taking you back to a world, I mean, it's all nostalgia for us, right? We're like, oh, sure. Our childhood. Yes. But like, this is what happened before fucking internet and smartphones, yeah. Everybody. Like, you sat on your front steps with a knife and a pumpkin. Like, that's
with no parents.
Yeah, that's what we did. So, yeah, I like that. I also, going back to, you know, the evolution of Degrassi, I feel like as time passed, like, Linda Shiler here is still, you know, much younger, taught in a school, was around kids. And then I feel like as time moved on, she just forgot how kids behaved and kind of how people in general talk.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Too
absolutely.
Many writers.
Yeah.
Too many... So, Alan, you said you watched a little bit ahead now. Like, are you enjoying what you've seen so far? Like, the sort of show as it progresses?
Well, I'm not going to spoil it. I know I skipped specifically ahead because I wanted to see an episode with Griff with the hopes of seeing Mike Nelson.
Oh, you just jumped ahead.
No, and 1 minute into the episode, I was like, yes!
And no.
Like, and again, we'll talk about it like it's, you know, months until we get to it. But Sarah came into the room and I'm like, listen to what he said! So
I think one thing I'm really appreciating about it too, which is something that, you know, I think we've talked about it before, like how much more we appreciate Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, as compared to the Next Generation, is that these aren't fantastical problems,
no,
right?
Yeah.
These are just kids dealing with kids, like kid problems. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, I have to meet my agent and, you know, I'm auditioning for a big Hollywood movie. And, you know, I'm like, obviously these are children, so they're not going to necessarily be dealing with like pregnancy or something like that, but they're not like these sensationalized problems.
Yeah.
These are like just small issues that to kids it's their whole world, but you know, in the grand scheme of thing, they're not getting like these kids aren't getting molested, and maybe there will be a molestation episode in the future, I don't know about that.
Great.
But like,
looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, as it is right now, it's like, oh, I made a movie and people didn't understand it.
Yeah, it's kind
right?
of
like this is not earth-shattering stuff, right? It's
It's kind of as if you just opened the blinds on 1 or 2 days on this street and what was going on were these
kids.
Yeah,
and I mean, there is conflict. There's a problem that they need to solve, but like it's refreshing that it's not pushed so hard, you know.
Well, there you go, everybody. Next week, we're going to be talking about episode 4, which, by the way, if you're watching on Amazon, they fuck you up because...
Yeah,
they go straight to Lisa Makes the Headlines, which I watched and took notes on and then was informed later. Nope, that's episode 5.
But also a great episode.
Yeah.
Love that episode.
So episode 4, everybody, if you're preparing, is actually Noel Buys a Suit.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, and that one is one of the first 4 original ones before it was made into a series.
Yeah.
So to fuck up the order is fucked up, Amazon.
Yeah, fuck you, Amazon. And you're bringing ads in? Fuck you. So, anyways. We'll go around the horn, I guess. Let's talk some Tim.
All right, Folly T on Instagram. Shout out to my daughter's volleyball team for losing a tough one in the semifinals today, but they keep getting better. So they have another tournament on next Wednesday, so maybe a good chance to win that one. Teddy, what do you got to say?
Ted, hi. Saywa3 on Instagram Machine. Linda did not participate in any sports tonight or today. She did play with her neighbor, though, her neighbor dog friend. Gordon, ooh. Shout out. Woof, 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 woof.
The dog's name is Gordon?
Gordon, yeah. Lynn and Gordon are best friends.
Gordon's the greatest name for a dog.
It
Gordon.
Is.
All right.
And they had to let him out because he was going to come through the plate glass window because Lynn was out like in his yard. It's like the owner was like, I better go let him out because he's going to come right through that window.
He's getting out no matter what.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He's a big chungus. Let's throw it over to Saskatchewan.
You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT, and I'm going to try to do a Vegas photo dump in the next few days, so you can watch for that.
You're going to get banned from Instagram. It's
yep.
All these people finger banging, and I was one of the 15 guys filming it, and here's my photo. Yeah. I'm Alan, Slip with Five Eyes on all the social medias. For the podcast, it is at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, Narbos and Broomheads at gmail.com, and we have a Facebook group, so find Narbos and Broomheads there. And I guess until next week, when Noel buys his motherfucking suit, we'll see you when we see you. Bye.
Peace.
Buy a suit.
Baby.
Well, I just said I don't get my ups. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe just to get the car my dreams.